Paul is using this Bible verse correctly. He's just emphasizing that God has freely given people skills and abilities for use in his church as a sign and celebration of his victory over death. So I think that's pretty cool. Let's go on to verse 9 and 10 that explains more about what Jesus has done. What does "he ascended" mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And all of this is possible because what Jesus has done. Jesus was from heaven, but he descended to earth to live as a human. He knows what it's like to be vulnerable, to be hungry, to be tempted, to be oppressed by a foreign occupational force, to be rejected by those closest to him. He knows what it's like to be betrayed, to be whipped and flogged, and to be killed. He descended here on earth amongst all this mess to join us in our battle against sin and death. And he won the battle against sin and death. And if we are struggling in our battle against sin and death, we are able to win it and overcome through the victory of Jesus. In Jesus, we can have forgiveness for the things that we have done wrong, and we can have the strength to make better choices in the future and not to go down those same paths that cause us to stumble again. In Jesus, we can find everlasting life, life with God that continues on after these earthly bodies die. In Jesus, we can begin to experience that heavenly life now through a relationship with God, which is just an amazing thing. And all of this is available to us through Jesus descending to earth, then ascending higher than all the heavens, as it says here in Ephesians. Okay, so that's all the background, and this is what we get. Verse 11, Paul lists off some of the gifts that Jesus has graced the church with. And he says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." And this is the equipping part. You know, this is where we're getting to the good stuff. Well, it's all the good stuff. This is the stuff that I was talking about this morning about how we equip each other in the life of the church. Paul lists the ways in which God has equipped the church. And remember, these gifts are given by grace, not because they are earned. This is just what God has given us. And to make a church work well, you need a whole bunch of different people with different gifts. And here, Paul lists five of them, which are significant for church life. Now, in other parts of the Bible, there are other gifts listed as well. This is not exhaustive. But if you've been around church circles for a while, you'd agree that some of these ones are fairly significant when it comes to mission in the life of the church. So let's look at them a little bit more closely. The first one is an interesting one, apostles. In Paul's first century context, an apostle was a very specific person indeed. These were the people who had actually seen Jesus. And these guys were at the forefront of new mission in the first century. Whether it be Philip taking the gospel to the Samaritans and the Ethiopian eunuch, or Peter taking the gospel to the Roman centurion's family, or Paul and Barnabas taking the gospel to, well, everywhere. These men were visionaries, and they had special insight into what and where new mission was to be done in their context. Now, the office of apostle officially ended in the first century. You know, after that period of time, no one was given the special role and authority of apostle because that was reserved for people who had seen Jesus. There are some churches today who give certain leaders the title apostle, and they can lift these people up and, you know, venerate them and put them on a pedestal and give them special status and privilege in a church. Those churches who have those kind of apostles, they're kind of doing their own thing, and that's not something that the Bible teaches. But here's the interesting part. While the role and title of apostle isn't a thing anymore, the function of the apostle, those who do new work, is still needed in the life of the church today. As I mentioned earlier, those first century apostles were the ones who were at the forefront of new mission in the early church. They were the ones who looked for new mission opportunities and forged new expressions of the church with different people groups. And in our 21st century context, we need people who are at the forefront of new mission more than ever. Our world is changing rapidly, and reaching our world with the message of Jesus, it means that we always need to be rethinking how we can best do mission in our context. Modern day apostles are not special people who are to be elevated over others and almost worshipped, but they are people in the church who have been gifted to follow in that apostolic tradition of seeing new ministry opportunities where others might not see them. These people, they're entrepreneurial, they naturally see opportunities and potential. They're sometimes church planters or ministry launchers or missionaries to lands where the gospel has never gone before. And some of the work that we are doing in the Oikos space could be considered apostolic. We're exploring new opportunities for mission. And if we are to realize this vision of being a voice of hope in that Oceanside community, we will need people who are wired this way, who see new mission opportunities, who form that function of the apostle, forging new mission opportunities into that community. So, there's an apostle for you. Next we have prophet. And prophets are people who hear from God. It's important to note out that what the biblical meaning of the word prophet is, you know, because sometimes when people hear the word prophet, they might think about, okay, if you've got someone who can see into the future and like they've got a crystal ball and they can tell you things like who you're going to marry and are you going to be rich and what you're going to have for lunch and that kind of stuff. But that's not a biblical prophet. In the Bible, prophets brought a message of God which has purpose for the present day. Their concern was for the present, not so much the future. Now, sometimes the message they brought would be a warning about the future, but the message was always for something in the present. Even the book of Revelation, with its end of days apocalyptic imagery, was written primarily for the persecuted church in the first century, not us today. Modern day people who serve a prophetic function in the church are people who are able to discern the spiritual realities of a situation, get a clear picture from God about it, and then communicate this message in a timely and appropriate way. And that last part is often the most tricky, you know. If you're someone who hears from God in a significant way from time to time, naturally, you'll want to share those things that you are sensing. And that's good. But it's a challenge to be able to communicate what you're hearing with sensitivity and humility. Many of you who've been around Christian circles for some time would have experiences where this is probably being done well, when someone's, given you something that's been on their heart, you go, oh, wow, that's really great, thanks. And other times, we might have had someone tell us something which may not have seemed like it came from God at all. So it requires wisdom and sensitivity and discernment. Next on the list, we have the people who perform the evangelistic function in the church. These are evangelists. They have an uncanny knack of naturally and organically weaving the story of God into a conversation. They are able to communicate the gospel in a way which is clear and accessible to people who have no faith. And as a result, people respond in faith in God. There are, of course, evangelists who are on the preaching circuit, traveling around, speaking to thousands. But those are the minority when we talk about evangelists, because most of the people who perform this evangelistic function in the life of the church are everyday people who just happen to be good at telling the story of God to the people around them. And next on the list we have pastors and teachers. And in the original Greek language of the Bible, these two functions are connected. And when we look in the way that people are gifted and wired today, pastoral and teaching gifts tend to be, go together fairly well hand in hand. But I want to just separate them out a little bit this morning, because it's not always the case. Some people who have a pastoral gift, not so good at teaching. Some people who are really great teachers, not all that pastoral. And I want to declare that a pastor is something that we have construed the meaning of a little bit in a church. When we use the word pastor in normal everyday language, what does it mean? It means the paid guy at the front who's done Bible college and his job it is to run the place. That's kind of like the word we use for pastor. But the reality is, the people who are employed by the church that we call pastors, well, we do a lot more than just pastoring. And the church is chock full of pastors, people who care for other people. The Greek word for pastor here in Ephesians is poimen, which means shepherd. That's what the word is. The Greek word is shepherd. The pastoral function in the life of the church is one that cares for others with a tender heart. Pastors see needs. They provide comfort and they encourage others. They emphasize with others and have great patience with those who are in need. People in the church with this gifting seem to have a special capacity to care for people and put themselves out in order to help others. So if you think about that kind of definition, well, yes, Donnie and I, we are pastors in this place, but we are not the only pastors here. There are lots of pastors in this church, and we need every one of them exercising their pastoral gifts to care for the flock. And finally, teachers. And the teaching function in the church communicates the truths of the Word of God to the people of God. Teachers of the Bible look for ways to explain, enlighten, and apply truth. They want to help the people of God learn how to obey all that Christ has commanded. Teaching in the church happens in different places and different ways. Of course, what I'm doing right now is a form of teaching, so hooray. But teaching also happens in home groups. And it also happens on one-to-one mentoring. Teaching happens in that context too. It happens with our youth and young people's programs. Some of the best teachers in our church you might never hear on a Sunday morning standing up here with a microphone. Their style is different, but it's no less effective. So that's the list we have here in Ephesians. God has given the church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service so their body of Christ might be built up. Our vision says that we are equipping and supporting people for mission. This is how we do it. We equip people and build up the church by exercising the gifts that God has given us. The passage says that Jesus has given each one of us the ability to provide at least some of these functions in the church. So, that's the five gifts that God has given the church here in Ephesians. Some of us are full of ideas about how to pioneer new missional works in that great apostolic tradition. Some of us, like the prophets, can discern messages from God and communicate them humbly and sensitively. Some of us are gifted in the area of evangelism and have a natural ability to share the story of God with the unchurched. Some of us are pastors who have extra capacity to care and emphasize with people. And finally, some of us are teachers who can make the truths of the Bible accessible to all sorts of people. And all of these people together, using their gifts in the church, will equip us for mission, both in this community and in overseas. So, do you know which one of these you are? I want to encourage you this morning, especially if you think you are none of them, that you are at least one of them. The Bible says that we have all been graced with these gifts in some way. God has put some of these inside of you, and it's your job to exercise these gifts in the life of the church to equip others for ministry and mission. And you may not have the job title pastor next to your name, but aren't there people in your network of relationships that you have a heart for? You may not think of yourself as a prophet, but sometimes, do people come onto your heart sometimes that you really feel that you need to pray about and maybe speak to about something? You may not think of yourself as a teacher, but when you connect with someone one-on-one, do you want to tell them about what God has been teaching you in your quiet time maybe? Each of us are some of these in different ways. And if we are regularly exercising these gifts in the life of our church, We will be equipping and supporting leaders for local and global mission. It's up to each of us to use these gifts God has given us for his kingdom so the body of Christ might be built up. And if we do this, what happens next? Verse 13 is all about that. It says, we will all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And that's pretty cool, isn't it? We'll grow in unity as a church, we'll grow in maturity, and receive the fullness of Christ. That's great, all because we exercise our gifts in the life of the church. Let's do that. You know? And if you want to talk further about how you think you've been wired or gifted or confused about how you might be wired or gifted or whatever, I'd love to have that conversation with you later. So come and say hi when we have morning tea. So yes. Am I forgetting anything this morning? The gift. Thank you. The gift. Right. Here it is. Are you ready for the big reveal? What is God's gift to Quanah Life Baptist Church? Can you guess what it might be after... Did you listen to what I have to say? I hope you listened. Ready? Here it is. Have a good look, everyone. See what I did there? Hey, hey. For all those people listening on the podcast, it's a mirror. Take a really good look, okay? You are God's gift. Well, all of us are God's gift to Quanah Life Baptist Church. So don't neglect the gift you have been given and contribute to the life of the church. Whether you be a apostle or a prophet or a teacher or evangelist or a pastor, we are God's gift to this place. Let's be good gifts. let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for the way that you have graced us. That not only do you send your Son to die for us so that we might have life in your name, but we have skills and abilities from you to build others up, to lift up your name and to see others come to faith in you. So I just want to pray for all of us, God, that we can continue to seek you in the ways that you have created us, that these gifts and abilities you've put inside of us, may you make it really obvious to each of us in the ways that we can be contributing here in this place so that we can see others be built up and ready and equipped for mission and ministry here in our local community and overseas, God. I want to pray for everyone this morning who may be feeling that, I don't know if I'm any of those. And I just want to pray that you might spend some time, you know, ministering to them, both this morning as we gather for chats afterwards, but also throughout the week. And we all might seek you more and try to understand how we have been wired and the ways that we can actually contribute to this place. And God, I want to thank you that you made us all different, and there are different ways that we can exercise these gifts in the life of the church, and that some of us are upfront people, but most of us aren't, God. But all of those gifts are so necessary and so important here in this place. So thank you, God, for the way that you have worked amongst us. Thank you for the thing you're doing amongst us, and we just want to give you all the praise and glory, because it's not because of what we have done, but it's because of the grace that you have given us. Amen. I